There are many things that are essential, things that are important, that we need from God. But these things cannot be had simply because the Almighty God has tied those blessings with being a part of his body that he calls the church. There are also some things which cannot be understood. Things which cannot be fathomed. Until you get in the church. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Read it aloud for me, somebody.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Notice here it's talk about the natural man. That's the person who has not been converted, who have not been cleansed by Christ's blood. The natural man does not
receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man. That is the unconverted man. The non-cleansed man or woman. Read on.
For they are foolishness unto him.
They are foolishness. The ungodly men and women who don't see the need for and have not made any step toward Jesus Christ to be obedient to his will, lot of things that are in your best interest, you do not even see it. That little part you have just read again.
They are foolishness unto
him. They are foolishness. There are a lot of things that are of utmost importance to the Almighty God. But from where you are. Brother Mitchell, what do you mean from where I am? From the distance that you are in reference to the Almighty God, in reference to Jesus Christ. You cannot even appreciate spiritual things. Anything else in verse 14?
Neither can he know them.
Neither can you know them.
Because they are spiritually discerned.
It takes a spiritual-minded person to appreciate and to grasp certain things. Are we all there? Many ungodly men and women, unbelievers, wait, are even sometimes some churchgoers they are faced with David's experience and problem. What is David's experience, Brother Mitchell? They are trying to get or to understand certain things, but they are trying to get it and understand it from the wrong place or the wrong point of view. Look at Psalm 73. Verse 1 to verse 9. Read it for us.
Truly.
Truly.
God is good to Israel.
God is good to Israel.
Even to such as are of a clean heart.
Even. You notice what he has done? It is to Israel. That's God's people. But then he narrows it down. That's why. Even to such that are of
a clean heart.
Clean heart.
But as for me.
David says, but as for me.
My feet were almost gone.
I am almost backslide.
My steps.
When he said my feet almost gone, I almost turned back.
My steps had well nigh slipped.
My step. All this, you know, it's not that him go down the water hole and the mud. No. He's talking about his spiritual or religious life. My step almost slipped. Read on.
For I was envious at the foolish.
I was envious
at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
You notice why the man almost backslide? When he saw how the ungodly prosper. Are we all there? When he saw how life seems to be going so well for the ungodly, for the wicked, for the disobedient. David, a man after God's own heart, said he almost backslide. Read on.
For there are no bands in their death. But their strength is firm. They are not in trouble.
Wait. In effect, what the man is saying there, that a lot of the problem and the challenges, the tears that person like me and others who are trying to serve God, a lot of what the negatives in life that we experience, David said, when he noticed the ungodly, it's like they are free from problem. Read on, brother.
They are not in trouble.
They are not in trouble.
As other men.
As other men.
Neither are they plagued.
Neither are they plagued.
Like other men.
Like other men.
Therefore, pride compasseth.
Pride rule their life.
Pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness.
That is, when you look on them, they look prosperous. Read on, brother.
They have more than the heart could wish.
They have more than they can even imagine. Read on.
They are corrupt.
They are corrupt.
And speak wickedly.
They speak wickedly.
Concerning oppression.
Concerning oppression.
They speak loftily.
They speak what?
Loftily.
Loftily.
They set their mouth against the heavens.
They speak against the Almighty God. When he said they set their mouth against the heavens, that means they speak against God, because things are going so well with them in this life that for them, there is no God. Or even if there is a God, I couldn't care less. Read on.
And their tongue walketh through the earth.
Their tongue walketh through the earth. What verse is that, brother?
Verse 9.
Okay, step me down. You have read verse 9. Step me down to verse 12.
Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world.
These are the ungodly who prosper in the world. Wait. Let me, before we misinterpret what we have heard so far. The Almighty God is not against prosperity. I need to If you get that from the text, and we're not through with this text, God is not against a person who prosper. That's not the point here. Is that in so many cases, our prosperity takes the place of God and make us forget God, make us grow proud, make pride direct our lives, make us feel that we do not need God because we have all the material things that we have. But it's not that God is against prosperity. So pick us up at verse 9, brother.
They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth.
Verse 12.
Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase their riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain.
Now, he said, you know, it's like David is saying, I began to wonder what happened to me. Why can't I get some of the prosperity? Why so many things are going wrong for me? He said, I look in my life and notice all the things that I detect might not be in keeping with God's will, and I got rid of them. Read that little part again.
Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain.
He said, truly, I cleansed my heart in vain.
And washed my hands in innocency.
And I washed my hands in innocence.
For all the day long have I been plagued. And chastened every morning.
Yes, all the day long he is
plagued.
Plagued and he's chastened. As the man get up, he have problem. Read on, brother.
If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children.
If I say, I will vent my feeling, I would do wrong against my fellow men and most likely against God. So you see, almost anywhere the man turned. Read on.
When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me.
When he tried to investigate what is happening in my life, people would say, why am I so bad lucky? I love how the Almighty God brought David to understand where he can come or go for a better understanding of life. Read, brother.
Until I went into the sanctuary of God.
Read that again.
Until I went into the sanctuary of God.
Read that again.
Until I went into the sanctuary of God.
Then
I understood their end.
May I? There are some things which cannot be understood or be fathomed or be had outside of Jesus Christ or outside of his church. Because the Almighty God fixed it like that. May I just drop this? This side of the cross of Jesus Christ, the church is God's workplace. It doesn't mean that God is not working out there in the world, in the secular world. Because the secular world belongs to God. But God's preoccupation is, and God's working is in the church. Time will not permit me today to go to some of the passages that I want to go to Here, David was confused when he looked in his own life and the many challenges that confront him daily. And when he looked on men that did not even believe in God, who did not care whether or not there was a God, and it's like life is so nice and sweet and easy for them. The man said that he almost backslid. Like David, in many cases, we are trying to get a better understanding of things while doing it from the wrong standpoint, from the wrong place, from the wrong viewpoint. So I repeat, there are things that can never be had or be understood from where we are. When you stop, what verse you stop?
Verse 17.
Okay, rest there for the time being. The sanctuary refer to when the Old Testament, and there are a few passages in the New Testament, refer to the sanctuary. It referred to the tabernacle that was built by Moses, and it referred also to the temple that was built by Solomon. It referred to public place of worship. Or anywhere that was designated by God as a place where he meet with his people. Look with me in the book of Psalms 27. Verse 4 and 5. If my memory serves me right, the word house of God, the word tabernacle, and the word temple will be used in two or three verses there. Did I say Psalms 27, verse 4 and 5?
Mm-hmm. One thing have I desired of the Lord, mm-hmm. that will I seek after, mm-hmm. that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, mm-hmm. all the days of my life, mm-hmm. to behold the beauty of the Lord, mm-hmm. and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock.
Thank you. Tabernacle. Temple. House of the Lord. Are all used interchangeably, referring to anywhere designated by God as the meeting place where he would meet under the patriarch, under the Mosaical dispensation, meet with Moses and other leaders. May I? Let us look on the point I made. I made the point that there are some things which cannot be understood or be fathomed or be had outside of Jesus Christ and his church. May I, ladies and gentlemen, you are here today, if you are a visitor From all likelihood, you are here because you believe there is a God. That's wonderful. Because some people do not believe there is a God. Truly, the Bible said that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But you are here because you believe there is a God. While that is good, that is not enough. The Almighty God would like to enter into a relationship with you. That is God's goal, God's objective for your life. And few of the passages that I want to share now is on that very point. One, the Almighty God wants you to place yourself where particular work which needs to be done in your life cannot be done if you are not where Jesus Christ wants you to be. The Bible speaks in terms like, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10.
To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
I almost asked the brother to read that again, but that passage going to come up again. The word in the text, to the intent. In fact, brother, read for me 10 through 12. Start at verse 10 again, 10 through 12.
To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him.
That's verse 12. May I? When the Bible says, to the intent, more modern translation would translate, for this purpose, with this objective, this goal in mind. Whose goal? God. When the text says, to the intent, it is referring to what the passage is talking about. We are in Ephesians chapter 4. And what God's plan and purpose is. To the intent, take us back to verse 8 and 9.
Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearched riches of Christ.
That I should preach among the Gentile the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. What is he talk about, Brother Mitchell? He talk about riches. Is some money more preach about? No, it's not money. Ladies and gentlemen, the saving of your soul and what the Almighty God put together in Christ No amount of money or gold can compare in the wealth that that is. So it's talk about our salvation. And it's talk about the Almighty God's plan to have even angels learning as they observe how man's salvation is unfolding in and through the church. Read on.
And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
The Almighty God had a secret that it was kept a secret all these ages until Jesus Christ and the gospel and the church came into existence. Read.
To the intent.
Wait. With this in mind. For this purpose.
That now unto the principalities.
Wait. That now. The time has come that that which has been God's secret throughout the ages. Notice the Bible talk about now. That now. What happened now?
Unto the principalities.
What is that, Brother Mitchell? That's the heavenly angel. Unto the principalities.
And powers in heavenly places.
Referring to the heavenly angel.
Might be known by the church.
You get there? That the church is so important to the Almighty God that he's using the church to enlighten angel. That's what that... May I? The brother is reading from Ephesians chapter 4. And you can read from around verse 8 to verse 10. Chapter 3. Weren't we reading chapter 4 some time ago? Yes, we were. Chapter 3. Why write this down? Is that you can jot it down and sometime between tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, read that passage. Because this is a wonderful passage. Emphasizing the importance of the church in an indirect way. Listen it again.
Unto me. Who am less than the least of all saints.
I'm less than the least of all saints.
Is this grace given? That I should preach among the Gentiles. The unsearchable riches of Christ.
Wait, you'll notice unsearchable. It is so compactly rich that you cannot search it out.
And to make all men see. What is the fellowship of the mystery?
What is the fellowship? You have just read to make all men see,
Yes.
That's men. Read on. What is the fellowship of the mystery?
Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God.
Nobody knew about it, not even the angel. No human being. Read on.
Who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities.
Wait. With this plan, purpose, goal, objective in mind, that now unto whom?
The principalities.
That is referring to angel. Heavenly angel. Unto principalities.
And powers in heavenly places.
And powers in the heavens.
Might be known by the church.
By what, brother?
By the church.
By the church. Is the church a school, Brother Mitchell? Let me put it a few steps further. It is a university. That's right. Might be made known by the church. Made known to who? First, it had pointed out all men, eh? And now it points out the principalities and powers in heavenly places. God's plan to redeem you and me. Wait. If you're here today and you are prepared to turn your life over to Christ, we will sit you down for a few minutes and make sure you understand what you are going to do. And once we ascertain that you understand, we'll take you in one of those rooms behind me here. And we will let you change your clothes and put on one of the baptismal gown. And you'll be buried in Christ. Watch here now. Because Jesus Christ planned. That's all what it's talk about. Jesus Christ's plan is that you not only believe, but you must repent of your sin. You must be willing to confess Christ's name, and you must be baptized. But Mr. Mitchell, you know, we sprinkle at our church. No, Christ didn't say sprinkle. Baptism. And then somebody said, but my church called sprinkling baptism, Brother Mitchell. Well, you see, God tell us what his baptism is. His baptism is a burial according to Romans chapter 6. So you see, you need not be confused. If you are going to be baptized, the baptism that is accepted by God, you have to be buried under the water. So we take you there. You are baptized. You come up from the water in the sight of God. It's like you have never sinned. Why, Mr. Mitchell? Because when you are baptized, the Almighty God applied the blood of Jesus Christ to you, and that dealt with all the sin that you have ever committed. But watch here now. Do you know that angels are fascinated over that? That's right. Angels. They didn't know. They have been with God before the world was created. Before man was created. But they didn't know how God would deal with man's sin. All that the angels saw was that man sin and they continue to live. Man sin and they continue to live. They live long, but they continue to live. Angel did not understand what's going on. It was not until Jesus Christ came through his death, burial, and resurrection. And when God's plan of salvation came into being on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people were baptized, I can just imagine when angels see God's plan unfolding through the church. How curious they were. Because the Almighty God fixed it that it is in the church, or through the church, that angels are going to be enlightened. See the working, see the unfolding of God's plan of salvation. Look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 and verse 47.
Praising God. And having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
You see, the church, because for you, the church is made up of human beings. You don't realize how important the church is in God's scheme of things. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added. Who does the adding? That's why you don't join the church of Christ. You obey God's condition or terms, and he does the adding. That's right. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church those who are being saved. Who are added to the church? Those who are in the process of being saved. Wait. When the King James says, added to the church, those who are saved. It's really, literally, those who are being saved. Because your salvation, our salvation, the salvation of the Christian is ongoing. When we get baptized, we are cleansed from all past sin. That is, if you are properly taught, and completed your obedience. All the sin we have committed in the past, we are rid of that. But you come from that watery grave of baptism, and you go about your daily task and daily business. You do make mistakes here and there. You offend God here and there. A lot of it too comes through ignorance. There's so much about God and his will that you don't know. That's why Christ wants you in the church. Because you spend a lifetime learning. Watch here. Christians who feel that they know all of it already, may God have mercy on them. Because there's so much you don't know. Some of it, get this, some of it is that God keep it from you. There are things I wouldn't say to my children when they were 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And all of us who are adult here understand that. Some of the things would be too mature for them. And like the way I grew up, if my aunt had told me that she used to hide money when the hurricane, 1951 hurricane came, I was about 10, 11, 12, whatever. And it just lift off the roof and put it down. So they made underneath that the kitchen. But my aunt, she used to hide money right in her tank. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon Carl Mitchell. And as a 10-year-old boy, every time me need like a few dollars, me know where the money was hidden. That's right. So there are certain things you don't let children know. There are certain things that we have to let God see manifested a certain degree of spiritual maturity. And as we remain with Christ daily, God opens our mind, our eyes, our understanding to more things. things that are right there in the Bible, but you and I read over it dozens of times and don't understand. The Almighty God watches how determined we are to serve Him. And as we travel with Him through life, He travels with us too. And day by day, He opens our eyes, our understanding. But watch here, you need to be in the church. There are certain things you can never understand until you get into the... That's why the church is called the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Oh, Lord. Just pray one more passage. It's just that sometimes so many things to... One or two, run with me to the book of Ephesians. Same Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Quick, brother. Time. So much.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify.
Wait. Love the what?
The church.
Everybody hear that? Be careful how you just push the church here and there. Yes, it is made up of imperfect men and women, but do you know what? God is working on them. How he loved the church
and gave himself for it.
Watch here, brother. It is always singular. Mean Christ has only one church. That's right. One true church he built. Make sure that you go to the Bible and identify that one true church. And gave himself for it.
That he might sanctify.
That he might what?
Sanctify. And cleanse it with the washing of water.
Go over sanctify again.
That he might sanctify.
It's not sanctify it. Yeah, because I thought that was left out.
That he might sanctify and cleanse
that
it.
That he might sanctify it. And watch here. No, it's important. It. You can't get more than one out of it. Christ has one true church. And after sanctify it.
And cleanse it.
Cleanse it.
With the washing of water.
Wait. Did you know that cleansing, that being done, it's not being done to the building. It's what is being done in our lives. But you have to be a part of the body of Christ. Notice the passage is talking about the church, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it
with the washing of water.
With the washing of water by the word,
that he might present it to himself.
Notice the it, referring to the church. That he might present it
to himself.
Uh-huh.
A glorious church.
What church?
A glorious church.
What church?
A glorious church.
That is Jesus Christ describing his church. And men and women throw the church here and there. And brothers and sisters, if you don't know, the church is important to God. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he died for the church. How do I know that? Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. Is it verse 28 or somewhere there? Watch here now. That he purchased the church with his blood. So look here. If you want to benefit from Christ's blood, you have to get in the church. Read, brother.
That he might present it to himself.
That he might present it to himself.
A glorious church.
A glorious church.
Not having spot.
Not having spot.
Or wrinkle.
Or wrinkle.
Or any such thing. But that it should be holy.
Wait. Do you know where God is getting rid of the wrinkle? Brother Mitchell, I use some cream. Well, that's all good and well if you're talking about biological wrinkle. But the wrinkle here is spiritual wrinkle. That's sin. And what the passage is implying here is that Jesus Christ is working on us daily to get rid of the wrinkles so that ultimately he can present us collectively, which is the church, to God as holy people, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be
holy,
holy
and without blemish.
And without blemish. That's the church. And do you know what? All what the brothers just read in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, all of what Christ is doing there, sanctifying it, cleansing it, all of that is ongoing in the church. For you to be a part of that, you have to be in the church. One more passage, one more, and that is found in Hebrews chapter 2, 11, 12 and 13.
For both he that sanctifieth,
that is Jesus Christ,
and they who are sanctified,
that is referring to us,
are all of one.
Everybody hear that? You say you didn't hear, then you're holding up the sermon, man. No, I finish the sermon and you hold it up. Say you didn't hear. Okay, listen. He who does the sanctifying, that's Jesus Christ. And those who are sanctified, that's the Christian. To sanctify means to set them apart as special people. Are one.
Are all of one.
For
which cause?
For which cause?
He is not ashamed to call them brethren.
Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. The implication, you know, he should be ashamed. We are sinful people. Of course, he has called us from sin to righteousness. And he's working on us that day by day we sin less and become more like Christ. Are we all there? Read.
Saying, I will declare thy name.
I will declare thy name.
Unto my brethren.
Unto my brethren.
In the midst of the church.
Where?
In the midst of the church.
Where?
In the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee?
That is Christ saying that, you know. It's a prophecy from Psalms about Christ. That Christ talking about the church. Talking about God's people, his brethren, his brothers and sisters. Referring to the Christian. And say that in the midst of the church will I do what?
Sing praise unto thee.
That mean, brother, I will worship. Are we all there? I will worship. Jesus Christ is saying that. The church is also an institution where worship to God is carried on regularly. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee.
And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children.
If you follow the inspired writer again and again and again, but I can understand because I just feel to go on. There's so much more. So many things. The book of Isaiah tells us that In God's house, he will teach men his ways. The church is the most important institution in this world. If you are here today, if you are a child of God, it is my hope that your faith in Christ's truth would have been reinforced. If you are not a child of God, you can become a child of God. Watch here. Becoming a Christian the same way men and women became Christian in the time of the apostles. In the Church of Christ, we do not make any change because we do not have that authority. You become a Christian now the same way one became a Christian in the first century. Hearing the gospel of Christ, believing in Jesus Christ as God's Son, repenting of your sin, that is making a resolve to turn from the ungodly, sinful things you have been doing in God's sight. And then you confess Christ's name to show you are not ashamed of him. You get baptized with a resolve to live for Christ, and he will live with you. Today you can step forward to give your life to Christ. Watch here. It is when you hear, believe, repent, and get baptized that you know what? God adds you to the church. He does the adding to his church. You can be added to Christ's church today as we stand.